Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something hopefully popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's. I was going to say Z's. Maybe I should add some Z's.
You can change it and go add three Z's and one E and make it different, you know. So,
yeah, that's true.
All right, well, here we go, Dan. Baseball apparently has a plan. And they want to start the season next month with no fans and play in, I guess, literally almost a biosphere type of environment. You know, they after all this kind of leaked out, they sent out a memo basically exactly what you thought it would said. You know, we're taking the health of our players and employees and all that stuff. You know, like I said, just what you think it would say first. You know, I got to tell you, Dan, this kind of seems like a TV money grab here. It's like they're worried about losing some TV money, and they want to get games on as soon as they can so they can pick up some paychecks, because there seems to be quite a few holes in this. I mean, where are you on this, Mr. Conspiracy Theory Guy?
I can kind of see that. You know, but on the flip side too, if they're able to get their product on the table or on the TV by May 1st, doesn't that give them the edge over the NHL and the NBA who are trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't understand how you pick up a season where you left off and then just go into the playoffs. At least with baseball, you're starting fresh. So, no, but I do think it's a money grab. It's definitely a money grab. But, you know, where are they going to play? Is everyone just going to go to Montreal? Because no one's played in the Olympic Stadium, from what I understand, for 30 years. Well, not 30 years.
The rumor I heard today to answer that as you keep going is Arizona.
Because the dry desert doesn't allow for viruses to pass through in Florida.
Yeah, they didn't give a reason for it. It was just Arizona was what they said.
I mean, it makes sense, but that's a big undertaking, is it not? I mean, you know, now you're with the way things are going. Granted, the travel ban is still 8:30. It's not even a travel ban, because I don't know about you, Big Jack, but I signed up for Southwest Airlines, and I get their emails, and you know, I've been getting like $49 trips. Granted, I don't look at the dates, but you know, left and right, I've gotten more of those emails than I've ever seen. You know, so it'll be interesting with that part of it, but you know, how can you truly organize to put 30 teams in, you know, one place and then have them, you know, working at all those facilities. Like, I don't know if it's called Dodger Town, the place that the White Sox and the Dodgers share, you know, Sloan Park, you know, the list goes on and on. Talking Sticks, which I believe is the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. You know, how, are you going to put them all in certain facilities? And not only that, you know, with baseball, there's a lot more. Right? I mean, we can go all the way down to the clubhouse managers for each team. You know, how is that going to work? The trainers, you know, because I'm sure, you know, and I'm just, this is just a hypothetical, but Theo's going to be sitting there going, well, my trainer is better than, you know, the Rockies trainer. You know what I mean? And maybe, yeah, and I'm using the wrong terms, but they're going to want their guys there, you know? So we're not just talking about 25 major league ball players per team. So 25 times 30, Big Jack, off the top of your head, is a lot, right? Come on, calculator.
Yes. Yes.
25 times 30 is 750 guys. Okay. Not all of them have kids. A lot of them may or may not have wives that work or not. I don't know what they do. You know, if they're single or, you know, married without kids, those women aren't going to want to be stuck by themselves and, you know, wherever the hell they are for the next couple months. And then if they have little ones, you got to bring them with too. And then, you know, we're talking about the ballpark, you know, like I said, the trainers. So each team, there's another 30 clubhouse managers. How, you know, how do we work that out? You know, is each team just going to have their own clubhouse manager? I guess then you knock it down to 30 as opposed to 60. Because normally in each town, you know, like the Cubs, for instance, they've got their clubhouse manager, and then they've got the visiting house's clubhouse manager. You know, who's going to facilitate the recording? So we don't even know what how many people go into the production staffs. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. So, you know, we could easily reach 1,000 people. So what are you going to do? Just put them all in one spot? I don't understand. I don't think Arizona has enough hotels for all these people, which I don't even know if
Right. Part of the plan, I can answer some of your questions here with what came out today. It says players, coaching staff, and other essential personnel would be sequestered at local hotels where they would live in relative isolation and travel only to and from the stadium. All right, so that's what they would do with that. The other part, you were kind of right on with what you said. They're looking at Arizona because in the Phoenix area there are 10 spring training parks within an hour of Chase Field where the Diamondbacks play. And the two they mentioned right away are Sloan Park where the Cubs play and then Salt River Fields, which is shared by the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. So that's what they would be looking to do. Now, of course, there would be no fans involved. So what's humorous here that I found, Dan, is one of the suggestions is players would sit 6 feet apart in the stands instead of being in the dugout. Now, one positive is there would be no mound visits from the catcher or the pitching coach. So the games would actually go a little faster.
Well, so then, I mean, but what happens for the catcher? Does he?
Right, well, that's.
And the umpire. This is totally ridiculous.
They would actually use, somewhere today, they would use robot umpires. Obviously, the catcher becomes, you know, a key focal point because he's sitting there with every batter. And then, obviously, what about the first baseman who's got to hold people on?
I mean, do you have no steal rule now? You know, you have to keep your foot on the bag like it's Little League until the pitcher, you know, releases the ball.
So, yeah, and obviously there's some questions with this, and that's part of the reason, you know, baseball sent out the memo they did about how, you know, nothing is set in stone, blah, 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 and then, you know, all the other stuff that you would expect them to say. You know, it was just kind of one idea to get that going. And you know, I got to tell you, Dan, this is no crazier than Dana White buying a private island so they can stage UFC events.
No. I did see that. I didn't read it all, so I wasn't sure exactly where he was going with that.
Yeah, apparently that's something he's looking into. I know I read yesterday that the NHL has contacted rinks in North Dakota looking for possible venues to play when they resume, because they're talking about resuming the regular season even though there's only a handful of games left. So, it's getting weird. It's going to probably get weirder before anybody makes any real decisions. But, yeah, this was the first one that came out about baseball. And I did get a kick out of, I saw a couple people on Twitter complaining about how, oh my God, you know, they're going to take these players away from their families and their children and stuff. All right, now, Dan, obviously I'm not a married man. You are. You're stuck at home with your wife and kid. I assume some of these players may actually enjoy the break. Don't get yourself in trouble. I don't think your wife listens, but I don't want you to get in trouble. You can't tell me that some of these guys wouldn't mind, not that they don't love their wives or their children, but I don't believe you were meant to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with them. So, this might not be such a bad deal for some of these guys.
Well, no, and you've got to remember, this is what these guys are used to. You know, they're not being home all the time.
Yeah, I guess, in a way, I kind of like the fact that they're at least looking for ideas. I don't know if this is the solution, and normally the first plan that comes out isn't the solution. But I do like the idea that they're trying to find a way to start playing games. As long as they can do it safely, I believe it kind of helps us all get into a little bit more normality when it comes to our lives. Cause you're stuck at home, your excitement is shoveling rock in your backyard that you ordered. I mean, it's a beautiful day. It probably would have been nice for you to take your daughter out and, go to the park or go somewhere else like that, one of those things. So maybe seeing baseball helps us kind of go, oh, yeah, remember it's supposed to be this. And apparently, Dan, I heard that the Korean baseball organization is planning on trying this first. Now, obviously, it's a smaller league on a smaller scale. So baseball may get a chance to look at this before they actually give it a shot and could possibly refine things to make it work for them.
Well, and you want to talk about, I don't know what the term is I'm going to use, but one of the Facebook groups I'm in, this guy posted, are you missing baseball? Because I am, blah, blah, blah. And, one of the guys in our group's from China, and, you can sign up, here's the English user guide to, watching their stuff. And I was, at first, I'm like, I was kind of ignorant to the fact because I just, the Asian baseball. So I was like, ooh, Japanese baseball. And then he was like, Chinese baseball. At first, my thought was, is Japanese better? Their players seem to come to the States a little bit more. But then I thought about the fact that, isn't that country supposed to be on lockdown? So what are they doing? I don't know.
Well, here, I can tell you, Dan, the Korean baseball organization, now they pushed their season back from March 28th to April 20th. They also banned all 10 teams from holding preseason games against each other. So what teams are doing for their fans is they are broadcasting basically inter-squad scrimmages. They call them inter-team games here. So, yeah, they're basically just putting stuff out for their fans. You know, and the LG Twins is the game, they're the team they're talking about here. Apparently, they play two practice games a week, and they air them live on their YouTube channel.
That's not a bad idea, though.
Yeah, you know, that's what they're doing, you know, during the outbreak or however you want to, you know, look at it. And they mentioned the first game they showed drew 7,500 viewers. So yeah, I may have to look that up on YouTube and see if I can, you know, catch a game or parts of a game or something, depending on their. What's the time difference between here and Korea, Dan? I don't know. What time is it in Korea right now?
Just keep going with that. Keep talking, and I'll tell you in a minute.
If you're listening in Korea, 646-478-3753, give us a call, tell me what time it is, or just email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and let the fat, stupid guy know what the time difference is, because I have absolutely no idea. You know, I'm lucky I know where Korea is on the map, because I wasn't in geography in school, so the time would just screw me up. So,
well, you can't be any worse than some of those people on Jimmy Fallon's, you know, show. But they are 14 hours behind us, because it is 6:46 a.m.
Okay.
But I don't know if they're on April 7th or... Or no, it says 14 hours plus. So I don't know what day it is in Seoul. I don't know if it's the 8th yet. But I guess, you know, it's kind of confusing when you think about it, though, because to get way off topic, when I'm on my clock for Apple, you know, I save times because I'm stupid for places I've been. So San Francisco is 2 hours behind us. You know, I would assume that if you were going to Korea from Chicago, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how the jet streams go, but I would assume you fly west, not east, where technically, according to Apple's watch clock, San Francisco is negative 2 hours, where Seoul, South Korea is 14 plus hours. I just wonder if Kim Jong-il has his own time zone and all that. Sorry.
He does for North Korea. I believe they're on their own time clock, but, you know, that doesn't affect this league because that's obviously South Korea. I don't believe North Korea has a team in this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I may have to, you know, one of my lovely sleepless nights or whatever, I may have to get up and search YouTube for the Korean baseball organization and see if I can find games just to see what it looks like, because, you know, it would be – I mean, I'm guessing inter-squad scrimmage. I don't know how close it is to realistic, you know, depending on what they're working on. But who knows? Maybe they're putting on an actual, like, game for their fans. So, well, that, you know, that could be – kind of interesting to see. And, you know, you never know, maybe you'll catch one of the, you know, I don't know. Well, I know in Japan they're called gaijins. I don't know what they're called in Korean. I'm assuming the language is different, but, you know, maybe we'll see the American players who are there, you know, that kind of show up randomly if they manage to make it over there. So yeah, we'll have to check that out. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm glad baseball is at least kind of working for a solution. Again, I don't know if this is actually the best one, but, you know, hey, it's a start. It's a starting point. You know, we'll see how it goes, and you know, maybe if we're actually onto something and things are winding down towards the end of next month, we can, you know, get stuff up and rolling, and again, get back to what kind of we perceive as a normal life. So I wish them luck, and I hope it works out, because I'd like to see baseball. So. All right, Dan, you ready for humorous story number, I guess, one that I found today? I did not know this. Yeah. Now, you know, I watched that first iRacing or e-racing or whatever it was. I forgot what it was called. Esports is what it was. And I mean, it was okay, but for me, there were way too many cautions, and it got kind of boring. Now they've still been showing these, and last Sunday they had what would have been the Food City Showdown at Bristol Motorsports. Now they were only 11 laps into this race when your guy Clint Bowyer got tangled up with Bubba Wallace, and they went spinning. Because the cars spin out just like they regularly do on the racetrack. Now, humorously, after this was all said and done, Wallace quit the race. Just like, your nephew would quit the video game if you were winning and he's not used to losing. He apparently just quit. And his real-life sponsor took some offense to this and apparently fired him. So I thought this was just all kind of strange because now his car was wearing the U.S. Air Force recruiting colors. So I guess you could see the Air Force not wanting a quitter, involved with their race car. But, I guess the whole strange thing to me here, Dan, was we're basically talking about a video game, aren't we?
Yeah, but, I mean, he could technically still be getting paid.
Yeah, I guess, you've got to figure if there's a sponsor on the car, they probably got some money from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of strange because, again, it sounded something like, I would have done as a little kid when I was losing a video game. I would have just quit in the middle of it, regardless of what was going on. And that's it, I quit. But, obviously, this is a grown man with a, with a job and however else you want to look at it. I don't know. What do you think? It's your guy, and I don't know whose fault it was. Was this your guy's Bowyer's fault?
He was just having fun.
And I know some of them have been really having a good time with it. I can't remember which driver I saw mention that he always wanted to race without pants on. And I know another one mentioned that he gets to race without shoes. So some of these guys are really having a good time with this. Obviously, Bubba Wallace wasn't one of them. So I guess we'll have to see, what goes on from here or how things kind of work, who's driving the car, I guess, next week or I don't know. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous that he just up and quit after 11 laps.
Well, sometimes.
And the thing I'd like to know that the article didn't tell me, did he drive the car back to the pit at least and then quit? Or did he, do they have a garage? Did he take it to the garage? How does that work in, the e-racing? I may never know.
No, I'm sure it's one of those where he just dropped the controller and was like, that's it, I quit.
Because that's what I would have done. That's it. I'm out of here later. So, and sadly, I think we've all done it, right? I mean, you've quit a video game in the middle of it or, however that goes.
Yeah, well, that didn't really happen until I was in my 20s and Xbox, I don't know which one, you got the online access finally. And I remember being super excited, like, oh, this is so cool. I could play with other people. And that's when I was a big superstar wrestling fan. And Blockbuster was still around, so I was part of that game club where, it was like a monthly, and then you got to bring your game, whatever. I played it online. I was playing for probably 15 minutes and getting my ass handed to me by a bunch of a little girl sounding a little voice. So I shut it off, put it back in the case, and drove to Blockbuster and got something else.
So, yeah, and then there was some more NASCAR news. Yeah, so, some more NASCAR news here, Dan. The Nevada Gaming Control has announced that the state sportsbooks can now offer betting on the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series. They actually started it before last Sunday's race. So you can go in and start placing your bets. And, you know, looking at, like, the ratings, the Texas Motor Speedway race drew a 1.3 million viewers, which was apparently a record for an e-sport event.
Well, yeah,
so
I mean, what's the biggest
know,
difference?
Are we just hard up to watch something or what?
I think we're hard up to watch something. Well, you know, I was going to say, it's one of those where, you know, you get your buddies together, you got your Busch lights, and then everyone's sitting 6 feet apart on the driveway. So I don't know. That's probably the situation I'm going to go with, you know, for what's going on. But, I mean, there's nothing to watch. And I think when you add in the fact that it's not a bunch of, you know, kids who play video games for a living, you actually have the actual driver. You know, it adds to it because, you know, if you subscribe to NASCAR's app, and I don't know how much you got to pay. I haven't really looked into it because I'm not that into NASCAR. Plus, they don't show all the races on the app. Otherwise, yeah, whatever. But you can, you know, if you pay for it, you can listen in on your driver the entire race. So you could, you know, quite possibly have the race going on, you know, like a lot of people in my neighborhood do in the garage. They have their big TV in their garage, even though they have basements. But, you know, everyone came from Chicago, so everyone likes to sit out front. I will never understand that, you know, the front yard party, I always call it that. But, you know, I see my neighbors all the time. And, you know, if you've got the race going on the TV, you know, you can have the volume up if you want. But if it's just you and, you know, a couple of my friends and we're all like Clint Boyer, you know, that's an option where you could just put on the radio and, you know, do the Bluetooth, however you got to do it, and then just listen to that team. Well, you know, you can switch it all you want. So, I mean, that is one of the cool options. So if you can imagine being a pretty diehard NASCAR guy where you're watching, you know, the Bristol or whatever, the Daytona 500, and you're generally listening to, you know, the, what do they call that? The driver talk, the drive between the driver and the pit crew, you know, their conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, this is even better because now, you know, you've got Boyer and whoever else live, and, you know, I'm sure there's a little crap talking, you know. I'm sure Bubba Wallace is not going to live this down at the annual NASCAR reunion, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing, like, I did see that DraftKings has opened up and they are offering, you know, the daily fantasy for this. FanDuel hasn't started it yet, but I'm sure they'll be on board rather quickly. You know, what is really kind of interesting about this is, like, the guys who are heavy favorites to win these races aren't really the guys that compete to win the regular races. You know, like, I know, you know, I don't remember who won at Bristol, but I know Timmy Hill won at Texas. You know, he's not a regular, you know, competitor. I don't even know if he runs all the races, but he's obviously good at the video game. You know, Garrett Smithley is another guy who always competes for wins. And William Byron is another guy who's kind of up and coming as a driver, and he's been competing for the wins. So, you know, these younger guys are really the guys that seem to be the choices here when it comes to, you know, to winning these races. You know, instead of the guys we would normally think of, you know, the Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, you know, you can even throw your guy Clint Boyer in there. So it's, you know, it's kind of different, kind of interesting just to see these guys, you know, these guys that we're not used to being up there.
Now, do these count towards NASCAR standings?
No. They're just doing it for,
okay.
Yeah. Really just, I guess you'd say, for the fans would be the way to say it, you know.
No, I mean, I get that. That's pretty cool. But I was just thinking if they're letting that count, you'd have some pretty angry drivers, right?
Yeah. Well, here you go. Like I mentioned, Timothy Hill won at Texas. It was his 674th victory in the iRacing game. So
this hasn't been going on that long.
There you go. Yeah. Apparently this has been around for a while. I just didn't know, you know, what they were doing. And, you know, what's kind of funny, and I don't know how much of this you've watched, but, you know, like for this race, Clint Boyer is what they call their in-race reporter, and they actually go to his basement or wherever he's got his setup at, and they talk to him. So, yeah, it can be kind of humorous. And I remember the first one I watched was, you know, one of the best things about the NASCAR pre-race is Michael Waltrip does this thing he calls the pit walk, where he randomly walks down pit road and just talks to whoever he runs into, be it a driver or a celebrity or whoever it was. And week one, he walked into Denny Hamlin's basement to talk to Denny Hamlin, and Hamlin's like, how'd you get in here? So, you know, they're having some fun with it, and it's, you know, kind of humorous. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, some of these guys are probably taking it really seriously and want to win. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, the rig Hamlin has in his basement cost him $40,000.
Wait, say that again?
The rig that he uses, like, he doesn't sit at a video game like you or I would with a controller. He actually sits in what looks like a modified car. That's what these guys are playing in. And they call it a rig. And the one he's using cost him $40,000.
That's pretty serious. Pretty serious.
Because, like, they showed some of them that first week I watched it. And, you know, maybe I'll have to check it out again. I think they're off this week. But then I think the schedule says Richmond. So maybe I'll see how that goes. And, you know, I know, like, not all the guys are doing it. But there are a lot of them that are competing. And, you know, I know, like, the first race was, like, one of the first times Jimmy Johnson had did it. So they had him as their pit reporter, and it was kind of humorous listening to him, you know, kind of be like, well, okay, let's see if we can figure this out. And, you know, he's an older guy. I think he fits in the age group between you and I, so, you know, video games may not exactly be his thing, but, yeah, it's kind of humorous. But, yeah, you know, I mean, don't you think this is kind of a good way for them to relate to their fans as well?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a great way. You know, and kind of gives you another side of your favorite driver.
You know, and I know, you know, you can see, again, some of the drivers you're not used to, because the four guys from, you know, I believe other series, I don't know if it's F1 or, you know, the IndyCar, but I think some of these other guys are racing in the other leagues that go on. You know, they have more than just NASCAR. You know, you and I talked about that a little bit. You know, there's more than just NASCAR on this site. So it seems like it's kind of cool for these guys that, you know, at least to get out there and, you know, kind of interact with the fans one way or the other.
It's pretty intense though for $40,000 setup to play a game.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently from what I've heard, and obviously I'm not paying $40,000 for a rig, that and my roommate would kill me because I don't know where the hell you put it. I would probably like to race on the balcony. But, apparently it's really lifelike, and it's very much like driving the car.
Well, I would wonder if it's anything like the physical therapy cars that they have. Well, sure, just a better, better, much better version.
It's probably better than the simulator I used to drive when I was taking driver's ed back in the 1800s. It's probably better than that. So,
I'm sure it's definitely better than that.
I used to speed all the time in those, and I would get in trouble. This one of the other issues I had was, when I was younger. Now I'm old and I barely drive the speed limit. But yeah, like I said, maybe if you get a chance this weekend, you can check it out and see what you think. Like I said, I didn't mind it, but for me, there were just too many cautions. It kind of slows everything down. But yeah, we'll have to see. Maybe not. Like I said, I think they're off this week. Maybe next week the drivers come back, and if you get a chance, you can check it. You'll love it, and root for your guy Clint Boyer.
Yeah, I say it the right way, the French way.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I thought there was one other kind of goofy sports story I saw, and I'm drawing a blank on it. I know there was the weird one where I saw Antonio Brown is hiring a new agent because he wants to get back in the NFL, but at this point I was trying to figure out who the hell would sign Antonio Brown. But maybe somebody will.
I've seen that. I did want to get you to elaborate a little bit more on what I didn't follow up with, and that is Dana White buying an island for he wants to host all of his events there, or?
Yeah, what they describe it as in the article I have here, and this is on the Mickey Mouse website, they use the word secured a private island. And apparently they're planning on going ahead. The next one is USC 249, if you can believe that or not. It's scheduled for April 18th. It's a 12-fight card. And, yeah, apparently, it's going to be on this island. It doesn't look like they give a location. It says, undisclosed island. And obviously one of the positives is he can book the international fighters who can't come into the U.S. without having to go through the 14-day quarantine. apparently, let's see what it says. It says he's locked up the island for 2 months, so he's going to continue out pumping out fights. It says he secured the island, and the infrastructure is being built right now. So, I guess we'll get some UFC here in 11 days.
I mean, it's a pretty cool concept if you think about it.
Yeah, and realistically, this and boxing would be the only sports that could actually do this, because, you can have the you know, the smaller entourages. I mean, it's basically a fighter, a trainer, and a coop man. You know, I know some guys have bigger entourages, but White can say, hey, look, cut it down. You know, so that wouldn't be a problem. So it won't be a, you know, a large group of people that they should be able to keep separated, of course, depending on how big the island is. Yeah, and, you know, obviously there will be no live audience. No surprise there. They're not going to bring people to this island to watch the fight. I'll be interested to see how this goes, and I'll be more interested to see how much crap he gets for putting it on, because, you know, everybody's going to freak out on him.
Yeah, and will the same song be Gotta Keep Him Separated?
Yeah.
Bad joke.
You know, it doesn't say in the article. Yeah, that was bad, but I knew what you were going for. you know, and apparently he says they're taking all the necessary preparations. I don't know if that means every fighter has been tested or will be tested for the, you know, the COVID-19, but, you know, I guess we'll kind of jump on that group when it gets there and see how people react. But yeah, I'm trying to think. It looks like the headline fight apparently is Pony Ferguson against Justin Gaither. And they're fighting for it says it's interim title fight. It doesn't give me the weight class. So that's going to be the main event of the card with 11 other fights. I'm under the impression, it doesn't say in the article, yeah, here you go. Yeah, obviously, it's pay-per-view, and then it airs on the ESPN, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network Plus app. So that's what you got there. Oh, and I did think of the other funny thing I saw. I didn't read this. I actually saw it on my Twitter feed. Did you see, and I think this is a little old now. I'm surprised it didn't come out earlier. You know, because I know you're on Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. I don't know. Do you by any chance follow ex-Bear quarterback Jay Cutler on Instagram?
No.
Well, apparently he put up something about how they were stuck, him and, you know, he's married to that former reality star. What is it, Kristen
Cavallari,
I believe is her name. Thank you. I almost said caviar, but I knew that wasn't right. And he put up a big thing about how they were stuck, Dan, because they traveled. And do you know where they got stuck and had to stay an extra couple of weeks?
Mexico.
The Bahamas.
Ooh, that sounds rough.
So, yeah, unfortunately, you know, the Cutler family got stuck in the Bahamas for a few extra weeks. And I was kind of hoping that a lot of the stuff they were putting, you know, he was putting up was tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, he actually had a volleyball, a pink volleyball that he painted up. Sort of kind of like Wilson from the Tom Hanks movie, if you remember that. And
yeah.
The frightening one was he put up a post of him standing in the ocean talking about no TP needed. So I'm really hoping he didn't take a dump in the ocean.
Well, I mean, the fish do.
Yeah, but they live there. You know, he's just visiting. So, you know, I have a feeling that wouldn't be ecologically safe for the fish if he did it, you know. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, there was a little humor there, you know, with them kind of playing the stranded victim scenario where obviously they were put up in a, you know, a luxury resort with, you know, all the amenities you could want. And I'm sure there was somebody waiting on them hand and foot. So I got kind of a kick out of it with the way he was, you know, he was dealing with it. So.
Well, you know, from what I understand, he's almost the star of the show that they're on.
Yeah, it seems that, and it's weird, and I don't really know why, you know, because obviously, you know, I've never watched the show. It's not my, you know, not really my thing. It's very Cavallari, though, right? It's named after her.
Yeah.
I guess if it was very Cutler, people probably wouldn't know what the hell it was. But, yeah, he gets, you know, every time I've heard people talk about it, and one of the shows I like on the Mickey Mouse Network is that goofy, highly questionable that Dan Le Batard hosts with his father. And they always talk about the show, and you know, Jay gets positive reviews. It also gives his father a chance to take shots at him because he was a Dolphin fan, and as we know, Jay ended his career as a Dolphin quarterback. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's weird how kind of positive reviews and stuff he gets from basically being a reality star.
Yeah, well,
and who would have thought?
You know, well, and what I kind of feel like goes behind it, though, is anyone who knows Jay Cutler, like you and I do, no, just kidding, listening locally here in Chicago to the female brought the only two female sports broadcasters I feel like there are, Maggie and something else. Forgot the other girl's name. Big Jack, that's where you come in to correct me.
I haven't listened to Chicago radio in a while. Is it Maggie and Julie?
Yes. I forgot their last names. You know, lucky them. They've got the job that we want. But regardless of the point, that was one of the things that stood out was listening to them one Saturday afternoon or whatever when the Cubs weren't playing or however that goes. They brought up, and I think the biggest thing behind it is anyone who follows sports and, you know, Bears fans, Broncos fans, they all know that Jay Cutler's not, when he was on the field, I always said he was not the leader of the team. Now, maybe there's a different guy in the locker room that we never saw, but, you know, when Brandon Marshall and Cutler were there, Brandon Marshall ran everything, was the face, the voice, the whole nine. So I think that's one of the big reasons that Cutler, especially from anyone who follows or covers, you know, football, they get behind it because I don't think they've ever seen that guy, you know, Jay Cutler as a human, as opposed to the standoffish guy who played football.
Yeah, and here, I did find their names. It's Maggie Hendricks and Julie DeCaro is what I'm going with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, there you go. You're all done. But yeah, no, you know, like I said, I just thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, all of a sudden this is kind of how Jay Cutler ends up getting some respect is as a reality TV star.
Yeah.
Well, wait, you faded away. Did your Bluetooth cut out?
Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to knock Jay like we used to, but then again, you know, we didn't act like his best friend when we hosted a show with him and then kill him behind his back. You know, that wasn't us, though, fortunately. Still like you, Jay. You know, you got to wonder, I think that last year in Miami, was it? Do you feel like it was, I don't want to say so much of a money grab, but, you know, well, playing football is definitely better than sitting in a booth, you know, calling the game. And, you know, what do you think were his thoughts going into that? I know you really have no say in that, but, I mean, do you think it was just like one last go around for him? Like, well, let's see if we still got it or, you know, because unfortunately, though, I think with quarterbacks, it's not a matter of what you have. It's a matter of what you have on the field to work with. You know, I think, you know, Jay Cutler could probably still be a quarterback today and doing great with a team that had, you know, three Brandon Marshalls and three Alshon Jeffries. But, you know, he wasn't given that. So, I mean, do you think it kind of went that way?
again, you know, I mean, we mentioned it a little yesterday. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, Jay Cutler wasn't very good here in Chicago. You know, he was expected to come in and lead the Bulls to the Super Bowl, and it didn't happen. Now, we've seen through the years that this is nothing new, but what they always seem to forget is, you know, like you and I always mention it, he had how many different offensive coordinators here? And, I mean, I don't care how talented you are, that ends up being a no-win situation. Because, you know, you don't get a rhythm going with anybody. I mean, it always takes a little time to kind of figure out how your guy is going to want to call plays. You know, by the time you figure it out, this guy's gone. Then they bring Mike Munson, whose system was so antiquated that he believed the best thing for the team was to trade Greg Olsen. So that would tell you right there that we made a mistake hiring this guy, and I think they kept him around for two seasons. He was one of the few guys that made it 2 years with Cutler. And, you know, I mean, you know, Cutler's lucky Mark didn't get him killed with the system he ran. But, you know, it always seems, you know, and I get it, you don't want to blame the behind-the-scenes guys because there's no faith on it. You know, you don't see Mike Martz's face every day. You don't see, you know, the quarterback coach's face every day. You see Jay Cutler's face every day. So it's Jay Cutler's fault.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just kind of how, you know, how it works out and how it goes. And, I mean, that's, you know, that's sports. I mean, we see it everywhere. You know, all of a sudden, even though Cam Newton was a fantastic quarterback for the Panthers for God only knows how many years and took him to a Super Bowl, you know, the minute he struggled, they wanted him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I feel like Cam Newton lost everything. He's almost talked about like a rookie quarterback now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you would never know that Cam Newton actually led a team to the Super Bowl with the way he's talked about right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just it's literally unbelievable. And, you know, the worst part about it is, you know, unfortunately for him, this is really kind of screwing up his free agency because, you know, he can't visit teams. He can't really get anything done with all this, you know, with the coronavirus going on. So, you know, hopefully it works itself out and he can find a job. But, yeah, right now it looks like he's one of the guys who's really going to suffer from, you know, all this when it comes to getting a new contract and getting a fresh start, which is what he needs. You know, and obviously his is more important than what's going on in the world, but it's just the process of, you know, some people have no luck.
Yeah, well, and not to overstep what you're saying, though. I mean, what's going on in the world sucks, but at the same point, we got to keep going, you know. And I get the whole what we got to do now, but, you know, life still has to go on, and that's why we're still doing this, trying to fill some time and have some fun. You know, and kind of bouncing back just a little bit, not so much on Jay Cutler, but with the systems that were brought in. I mean, do you think that's one of the killers of the game? And obviously, I don't know anything about the CFL. I don't know if they just don't play defense at all and, you know, you could pass the ball to anybody on the field and score a touchdown and get taken to the championship portion of their league. you know, so it's – do you think the problem with some of these coaches now, though, is that they don't manage the game as well as – using both sides of the offense where, you know, this team's labeled as a run team, this team's a pass team, and this team's a pass team where the quarterback's going to run. You know, I can't tell you how many games I've watched, and again, I'm no NFL expert, and if you're sitting there listening and laughing with all this guy talking about, well, yeah, can't argue with you. But, you know, I've watched so many games where you see them go two quarters, and the running game hasn't worked, and the passing game hasn't worked. I don't understand why there isn't more of a mix-up, you know, with you're going to run and pass. Why do teams, coaches, front offices think they have to be one way? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, well, you know, this is another one of those things that kind of boils down to how kids are coming up through the system. You know, like when you go way back to the 80s when I played high school football, we literally ran the ball every down. If we threw the ball five times a game, it was a big deal. You know, it was, you know, run, and even though they know you're going to run, you run some more. Now the game has elevated to the point where coaches are realizing how to use these skill set guys and score points. Instead of just handing them the football, you throw them the football, and you can get bigger chunk plays. Well, you know, then it develops from the high school level to the college level. Dan, if you watch a college game, if you think about it, when they come back, watch 5 minutes of it and try to count how many times a quarterback actually takes a snap from under center. They rarely do it now. So then when you get to the next level, you don't have that experience. So you're literally learning all over again how to take a snap. Well, instead of doing that, the coaches with the guys who get the most talented players just put them in that pistol or the shotgun, and they adapt everything around that. So it's just kind of the way the system is led, and it seems more and more the majority of talented players are playing offense now instead of defense, with the exception of offensive line. You know, if you're a talented lineman, you play the defensive line and you rush the quarterback. But if you have any other skill set, you don't play defensive back, you play wide receiver. If you can make people miss, you play running back. The only way you end up with defensive back is if you can't catch the football. So, you know, defense takes a hit on the back end where it's easier to throw against them than it is to run against them because all the talent's on the defensive line. And obviously there's exceptions to this as you go through the game because there's always going to be. But yeah, it just, you know, it's the way the game is bled now, and that's what we have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a great insight into it. It's just, I guess I never thought of it that way, that the fact that these guys, and I guess you can equate it to Major League Baseball where, I think it's a little bit more traditional, just the way it was. But, you know, these guys are just taught their one way, then, I guess, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, playing Little League or whatever, the best player plays shortstop. Well, now in football, the best player plays wide receiver. So it becomes a little different kind of egg or apple or hog. So, it's just kind of changed the game. There we go.
And when he was in high school, he was the quarterback because he was the best player.
Right. The music is supposed to be going on here because Dan and I are under a minute to go, but I have been having some relative internet problems. Fortunately, it got us through the podcast, but I'll run down the wrap-up and Dan can sing us out with whatever time we have left. Tomorrow at 5:30, you know the deal with this, sportstimeradio.com, the Facebook page, the Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. Look Dan and I up on Twitter. We're trying to be everything at 4:30 for you, but we love to pop up tomorrow. If you don't follow this live, thank you, but if you didn't, just go on to tunein.com and you can listen to us whenever you want.
on radio, isn't that?